And I like that last part of verse number 4, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. And where would we be this morning if it weren't for Jesus? Amen? And what a blessing he is in our lives. Well, as you're finding your place and settling there, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us, and we're going to be this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we will be there momentarily. Of course, this Thursday is what is commonly referred to here in America as Thanksgiving. Now, for the Christian, we know that every day should be Thanksgiving. Every day should be a spirit of Thanksgiving. And oftentimes, even though Thursday is Thanksgiving, for a lot of people, it's the holiday that we sometimes forget to thank God. Thanksgiving is the only American holiday whose entire purpose is built upon the foundation of gratitude. And yet, at the same time, it's the one where we can easily become too busy to actually give thanks. Between preparing meals, between going to family, between going to friends, between running here and there, Walmart and Tops and grocery store and all the rest. If we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to become bogged down with the busyness of the holiday. Again, we prepare meals, we watch football, we travel, we see family, we cook, we clean, we decorate, we rush. And if we're not careful, we can celebrate the day without actually doing the one thing that defines the day. An old preacher, he once said this. He said, "Thanksgiving without thanks is just another Thursday with turkey." When you boil it down, that's exactly what it is. Thanksgiving without thanks is just another Thursday with turkey. The world today has confused gratitude with sentimentality. People say, "I'm thankful," but they never say to whom they're thankful. They say, "Man, I feel lucky," but they refuse to acknowledge the Lord. They count their blessings, but they forget the blesser. But the Bible here this morning gives us a very simple, a very profound, a very challenging and encouraging command in our text that we're going to see this morning. You found your place, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and notice there if you would, beginning at verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 16, the Bible says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Notice that phrase again, verse number 18, "in everything give thanks." For a few moments more, I'd like to preach us on this thought: three pillars of a grateful life. Three pillars of a grateful life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, now we do thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house, to open your word, to see a truth that might help us and challenge us and encourage us. And now, Lord, I just pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone, and may be a help to these your people. And Lord, help me to say those things which need to be said, and help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this church without getting it settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that they need to hear from you, they need encouragement, we pray they'd find that as well. Lord, now quiet our hearts. Help us to be thankful in this season, but also every day. And Lord, now just speak to hearts is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage here that we just read is really a very short passage. I mean, if you wanted to, you could probably memorize it between lunch and the time, or between now and the time you leave to go home for lunch. That's how short it is. And maybe you're here this morning, and perhaps this is a passage you have already committed to memory. And even though it's short, we find that it's very deep, that you could spend really the rest of your Christian life learning how to live it. And so this morning, what we want to do is, with the Lord's help, kind of walk through these three verses and see the three pillars of a grateful life. They're simple, they're profound, they're challenging, they're it's nothing new here. We know the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. But I hope you'll find them to be wonderfully encouraging. Turn back, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because here in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul, of course, is writing to one of, if not his healthiest churches. The church at Thessalonica. The Thessalonians. They were young. They were persecuted. And they were growing fast. Paul, as we know, he didn't spend very much time with them. He didn't spend long with them. But they would become what he would refer to as a model church. Notice there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And so what Paul was saying here is that when these churches look at you, they see an example of what a church should be. They see an example of what God's house should be like. The closing chapter of 1 Thessalonians, which we are in this morning, chapter number 5, is really rapid fire discipleship. It's packed with short commands, meaning, and they all point to what a Christian life should look like in any season. Not just Thanksgiving, including Thanksgiving, but not just Thanksgiving, but all seasons of life. And again, we see these three pillars of a grateful life. Number one, the joy that continues. The joy that continues. Notice there, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Rejoice evermore." Rejoice evermore. Those two little words simply means to be glad continually. In other words, to keep on rejoicing. Now, this doesn't mean that Christians must always be happy, smiling through every sorrow, but joy is something that is deeper than just being happy. Because remember what we said about happiness. Happiness depends upon happenings. You go to work, you get a raise, you're happy. You go to work, you get a pay cut, you're not too happy. And so happiness depends on happenings. But joy is something that is deeper. Again, happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on Jesus. And joy this morning, just simply the settled confidence that no matter what happens, God is good. God is good. We had a lady, and she was, and I didn't realize how bad she battled cancer, because when we met her, she had already been battling it for quite a while, and so she was skinny and frail and all the rest. And every so often now we'll see pictures of when she was younger, before the cancer. And she was, when we met her, she was really just kind of a shell of her former self, physically speaking. But she still had her joy. And one of the things she always would say is, "God is good." And our response would be all the time, "God is good." And no matter what it is that we go through, God is good. God not only is good, but God is present. He never leaves you alone. He's right there with you every step of the way. And not only that, not only is he good, not only is he present, but God is working. And listen, even when we don't see it sometimes, God is still working and working things out behind the scenes. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. You can write it down and look at it later. But the Hebrew word for joy is shimcha, a celebration rooted in God's character, not in our circumstances. Because listen, again, if the only time we praise God, if the only time we were joyful, if the only time we were joyous was when things were going well, then Satan would give us enough bad things to make sure we never praise God. And so our celebration, our joy is rooted in who God is, not in our circumstances. This joy flows from knowing that God is faithful. Practically, what does this mean? It means that joy in blessings is easy. But joy in burdens is the real test of faith. Joy is a testimony to a lost world. You say, how can we rejoice evermore this morning? Simple, by remembering God's past faithfulness. Listen, if he was faithful to you in the past, guess what? He's going to be faithful to you today. And if he's faithful to you today, he's going to be faithful to you in the future. God is always faithful. But not only that, by trusting his present work. He's working right here, right now, right where you are. Whatever stage of life you find yourself in, God is working. And by hoping in his future promises, God has promised us a future that is greater and more wonderful than tongue can proclaim. A man once said, every believer has two lists, things that are going right and things that are going wrong. Whichever list you focus on becomes the source of your joy or your misery. And so we have a choice every single day. Are we going to focus on what's going right, or are we going to focus on what's going wrong? And listen, if you're always focusing on what's going wrong, then you're going to always be miserable. But if you focus on what's going right and what God is doing and how God is working, yes, that doesn't necessarily take away the circumstances, but God can still help you through what is going wrong. And thanksgiving invites us to focus on God's goodness. And so we see the joy that continues. Then secondly, this morning, we see the fellowship that continues. The fellowship that continues. Notice verse 17. Verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means, hey, don't stop praying. Don't leave gaps in your prayer life. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, that you pray 24/7 with folded hands and eyes closed. But it does mean you never hang up the line with God. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will answer thee. Prayer is not simply just an event. It's an attitude. It's a constant awareness of God's presence. You say, well, why is this important? Well, because Thessalonica, the city of Thessalonica, even though they had a model church, the church was in a city that was full of idolatry. They were in a city that was full of idols. They were in a city that was full of temples and rituals, and they were in a place where people would offer prayers to the pagan gods, which was monetary and transactional. They would tell their false gods, hey, you do this for me, and I'll give you an offering. You know, how often do we sometimes treat God like that? Where we say, okay, God, listen, you know, we try and barter with God. We try and reason with God. God, you do A, B, and C for me, and then I'll do A, B, and C for you. That's not what God called us to do. Paul teaches them that true prayer is not transactional, that it's not momentary, that it's not ritualistic, that it's not just a fleeting thing, but that it is relational. It's relational. We need to make sure that your life is a prayer, that your mind is always turned Godward. Pray when grateful and pray when grieving. Pray when you're doing your chores. Pray when you're driving. Pray when you're walking, when you're working, when you're cooking, when you're waiting, wherever it is you find yourself, pray and spend that time with God. Short prayers, long prayers, whispered prayers, emergency prayers, thankful prayers, no matter what they are, pray to your Heavenly Father in heaven. In ancient palaces, not everyone had access to the king. But the king's child could walk in at any time. Prayer means that the king's door is always open to you. Prayer means that the king's door is always open to me. We have access to the king 24/7. You have access to the king 24/7. So those nights you wake up, you can't sleep. And you have a lot on your heart, a lot on your mind, a lot going on in your life. Guess what? You can pick up the phone of heaven and call up to your Heavenly Father in heaven and just pray and spend that time with God in secret. So we see the joy that continues. We see the fellowship that continues. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the gratitude that continues. We see the gratitude that continues. Notice verse number 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This right here is the heart of the Thanksgiving message. Paul is saying, in every circumstance, give thanks. You notice here, Paul doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. No, he says, in everything, give thanks. Now listen, that doesn't mean you have to necessarily thank God for cancer or pain or loss or tragedy. But you can still thank God in those moments because he is still faithful. He is still working. He is still near. He still saves. He still promises eternal hope. Now the world and critics, they'll say, oh, please, giving thanks in everything, that's just not realistic. It's naive. It's blind. But Scripture shows us that thanksgiving in trials is the mark of a mature believer. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. David thanked God while he was in caves. Paul and Silas sang in prison. Jesus gave thanks before the Last Supper, knowing his betrayal and that the cross was hours away. Faith doesn't ignore pain this morning. Faith sees God through the pain. And so the question becomes, well, then when should we give thanks? Simple. Number one, give God thanks when God answers your prayer. Number two, give thanks when he makes you wait. Number three, give thanks when he says no. Number four, give thanks when blessings overflow. Number five, give thanks when life breaks your heart. You see, because thanksgiving, it's not a reaction. It's a decision. We decide, today, I am going to be thankful in all things, no matter what it is we're going through. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 17. Keep your finger there in Thessalonians. We'll be back. Luke chapter 17. and begin there at verse number 11. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Was there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So we see here, Jesus cleanses these 10 lepers, but only one returned to give thanks for what God has done for them. So the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we that one leper? When God does something for us, always giving thanks? Or are we like the other 9? Getting what we want and then kind of scurrying away. Statistically here, 90% of people receive blessings without ever acknowledging God. May we this morning be the one who returns. You say, why? Well, look there back, 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Second part of verse number 18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, this morning, this is what God wants for your life. This is what God wants for my life. And listen, you may not know this morning where to work, which house to buy, what school to choose, what tomorrow holds, but you can know this. God's will is that you live in joy and prayer and thanksgiving. These three are the marks of a Spirit-filled Christian. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tell us that. They are the recipe for spiritual victory. They are the antidote to bitterness. They are the cure for anxiety, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. They are the doorway to peace. And so this coming Thursday, may we make it a Thanksgiving worth celebrating. And if you this week want a Thanksgiving that honors God, then rejoice evermore. Find joy in Jesus. Pray without ceasing. Stay close to Him. And in everything, give thanks. Trust Him every day of your life. Again, like I said, it's simple. It's challenging. It's profound. It's nothing new. But if we'll take it to heart, it can be incredibly encouraging as we seek to have a Thanksgiving that honors God this week. And every day can be Thanksgiving for the believer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.